Who am I that he should love me and offer me his kingdom for my own? Who am I that he should die for me, a sacrifice unlike I've ever known? Who am I that he would heal me, take me by the hand and make me whole? Who am I that he would lift my soul and make my burden light? Who am I? Who am I that he should pay the price and spare me all the pain I might have known? Who am I that he would live his life to show me how to love so that I can be with him once more? Who am I? What miracle is this, that he should come to bless a simple child's eye? Who am I that he should find the way to mend a broken heart? Who am I? Who am I that he should pay the price and spare me all the pain I might have known? And who am I that he would give his life to show me how to love so that I can be with him once more? Who am I? What miracle is this, that he should come to bless a simple child's eye? Who am I that he should find the way to mend a broken heart, to mend my broken heart? Who am I?
That you would give our brother Joel your careful and your prayerful attentions for the message that the Lord has placed on him this day.
And happy Mother's Day. I haven't had a chance to see and hug my mother, so happy Mother's Day, Mom. As I was considering preaching here today, several weeks back, I had several things placed upon my mind, and which I feel to speak to you about. I have a lot of scriptures. A lot of them are very short, just a couple of verses, and I have those written down. And so I may move right along so that I can get my thoughts out there. I'm going to begin by talking about something that we all see today. And this was a prophecy about something that was going on in Israel. It's found in Isaiah chapter 3. And I'm going to read it. There's two verses there I'm going to read. I'm going to read verse 5 and I'm going to read verse 12. And it's one of the curses of the day in which we live today. We have some similar problems going on in our world today. And I'm going to read it, at least here in our nation. Chapter 3, verses 5 and 12. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. Find in this first verse something that was going on and some of the calamities that were going to come upon the people of God, or God's chosen people, because of their transgressions. Verse 12, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. My people, they which lead thee, cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. We live in a society that has traditional paths set up by God Himself that threaten to be destroyed. And it does affect us right here in the church. And it's something that I want to talk about today because it is Mother's Day. And as I want to talk about the honor that is due our mothers, also the duties and responsibilities that mothers have and how important they are, especially in our day. 2 Timothy chapter 3, this prophecy of the last days, I'm going to read two verses there. You should be very familiar with it. It says, know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. This is a prophecy of the last days, and in verse 2 it said that there were going to be those that were boasters, there were going to be proud blasphemers, and there was going to be those that were disobedient to parents. And it's something that we see. It should be alarming to us, and it should be alarming to each one of us. And so I come to really what we celebrate as a nation today, and there are other nations that celebrate it with us, is Mother's Day. Do any of you know when Mother's Day started? When did it start? 1908. Pretty good. Officially in the city of Philadelphia, I think it was, it started in 1908. I'm going to tell you that it started a long time before that, but we'll get into that in a moment. In our nation, there was really a woman in the 1800s, and her name was Julie Ward Howe, and she suggested this United States Mother's Day in 1872. And she's the same one that wrote the Battle Hymn of the Republic. She wanted it to be a day dedicated to peace. But then, in 1907, a woman by the name of Anna Jarvis, she campaigned to have a National Mother's Day. And she persuaded her church to, on the second Sunday in May, which was the anniversary of her mother's death, they celebrated Mother's Day. The next year, it was 1911 by the time that President Woodrow Wilson made an official statement. 1914, pretty much city started. Anyway, that's all very interesting, and a lot of nations did it. It was also done in earlier times, in Greek times. But I want to go back to when the Scriptures tell me it really started. And I want to read in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. And certainly probably before this it was known, we have a direct commandment to the children of men, one that Christ reiterated in His ministry. And it's how He set up His system in the world. And it starts in, and I'm only going to read verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. One of those Ten Commandments was to honor our father and our mother. You know, when I look up this word honor in Hebrew, it's very lengthy. It's very difficult to understand. Except that the primary root is to be heavy. What in the world does that have to do with honor? And as you go through it, it talks about to be chargeable, to glorify, to bring to come to do, to be had in honor. Honorable. Talks about nobles. There's all kinds of words here that it talks about. And I think when we read it in the Greek, it's going to be a little clearer to us what the Lord was telling us. The Lord went on in Leviticus chapter 19, and I'm just going to read it off of my page, verses 1 to 3. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Ye shall fear every man his mother." You know, in Exodus chapter 20, when we read it, you know, fathers were kind of put before mothers, but here in Leviticus, he puts the mother first. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. This word fear, to fear morally, to revere, to frighten, to be put in fear, to be had in reverence. We are called by God, not on one day of the year, but by, you know, in every day of the year. Something in God's system that He set up. And why did He set up His system? Everything that He did, as Brother Glenn talked to us when we did Exodus, was about types. The Lord developed this family unit, and it was perfect in order to show types of our relationship with God Himself. And it started at home with our fathers and our mothers. And so such was the commandment to the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 5, in verse 16, the Lord said again, "Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." We read there in Isaiah, part of God's cursing was going to be because the people weren't doing this. The children were behaving themselves proudly against their elders. They were oppressing their mothers and fathers. They were not in reverence. And because of it, the judgments of God were soon to come upon them. And so again, the Lord reiterates the reason and the purpose. If you want to continue to dwell in this land, this is something that is necessary. Verse 32 of that same chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 5, "Ye shall observe to do, therefore, as the Lord your God hath commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess." Again, the reason that one of those commandments, observe to do it. The next chapter in Deuteronomy is that chapter that tells us about all these things that he had said, honoring our parents. These are the commandments, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. "The statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whether you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God." Our fear first in all of God's commandments is to the Lord Himself. "To keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I commanded thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that thou may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Ye shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I commanded thee this day shall be in thy heart." We read the things that he had commanded him that day. Honor your parents, your father and mother. Those are the words that should be in your heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. A duty all of us have, to teach these things diligently to thy children. "And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign in thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. We are told these things, this is only one aspect of what the Lord wanted, but things that we should be teaching among our children. Matthew 19, when Christ had the rich young ruler come to him, in Matthew 19, 9, and he says, you know, what are the things that I need to do to inherit eternal life? One of the things that Christ said to him is, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The word in Greek, it says to prize. Honor, to prize, to fix a valuation upon, by implication to revere, to honor, to value. You know, how many of you here would say that you value your parents? How many of you value your parents? Well, good. Do these scriptures tell you that everything that your parents do is right? Isn't that what it says? No. It doesn't say that they're always right. But it does say to honor them, doesn't it? And that's a very important thing. The value that we place in the relationships that we have at home, when we were at home, or if you are at home right now, is very important because they're a direct copy of a relationship that we have with the Lord Himself. And we're going to see that as I go along in another point. But it's one of those things that it's important to the Lord that we take seriously and we place a great value upon the relationship we have with our parents. There's a duty that's given to young people in Scripture. It's found in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In so doing, in verse 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. The duty of young people. It doesn't matter whether you always agree with your parents, with your moms. The Lord commands you to be in obedience to them. And we're going to see a great example of this to come in the Scripture yet. And again, God's purpose is that whenever we honor those things which God has placed before us that require honor. And it's not just mothers. We know that throughout the Scriptures, there's other things we're told to honor. That when we honor those things, we are blessed of God. And our inheritance remains on the earth. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 22 through 25. And we're going to read a lot out of Proverbs today. But it says this. To young people, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. The primary root word of this, despising your mother, is to disrespect. Continue your respect for your mother. He goes further. Buy the truth, and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begatteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. God's statement, commandment to the young people here is to take seriously this responsibility which you have to your parents and especially to your mother. And believe me, you will make your mothers to rejoice or to bear great hurt in the future in the decisions that you make. And so you're told by this wise man to take the truth, God's truth. Don't sell it. Grab wisdom. Hold on to the instruction that you get from your parents. Find the way to understand what they're trying to tell you. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 to 23. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. It's not just dad's responsibility to lay down and to teach, to tell our kids the things they should be doing. It's also the job of the mothers. Bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about thy neck. And when thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. We have, as parents, we have a responsibility to give commandments, to give, to lay down the law, to teach our children. It's a huge responsibility, which often falls far more on mothers because they have dad's responsibility, to which he shall answer to God, but it often falls upon you mothers. Grave responsibility. And I'm going to talk more about that in another section. Reproof also, and instruction. They're a way of life, and they should be the way of life in every one of our families. And we do these things for the good of our children. Again, I'm going to go a little bit deeper into that in another section. I'm going to ask you if you can think of some examples in the Scripture when Christ honored His mother. Can any of you think of any of those? I found three major places where He honored His mother. This is not a rhetorical question. That's one of them. Good. He what?
When He was on the cross.
When He was on the cross. Anybody got the other one?
When He was subject to His parents.
When He was good. We got them all. Okay, we don't need to read that, right? No, we're going to read it. Luke chapter 2. We're going to start in Luke chapter 2 and kind of take you along the life of Jesus Christ. One of the wonderful things about the Scriptures that was sung about today in our special is that Christ came as a babe. And as a babe, He was able to show us, even as young people, our duty and our responsibility. In Luke chapter 2, you all know the story. Well, you should know the story. It's found in verse 45. No, it's found a little bit further than that, in verse 41. Jesus Christ was 12 years old, and they went to Jerusalem for the Passover, the feast of the Passover. We know that Christ, that Jesus got separated from His parents, ended up over there in the temple and was teaching and talking to the doctors, and they couldn't find Him for 3 days. 3 days. They, you know, Mary and Joseph searched among the people in their party that were headed home to Bethlehem, and nobody has Him. Can't be found. So they go back. In verse 45, it tells us, "And when they found Him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking Him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found Him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard Him were astonished at His understanding and answers. And when they saw Him, they were amazed. And His mother said unto Him, Son, why hast Thou thus dealt with us?" You know, I thought about this. You know, if my wife and I had lost one of our kids, I've always thought that I would be the first one to the punch to deal with them when we found them together. And yet Mary, the mother, was totally brokenhearted. "Why have You done this to us? Do You realize what You've put us through?" And you know, "Behold, Thy father and I have sought Thee sorrowing. We've been afraid for You." And He said unto them, "How is it that ye sought Me? Wist ye not that I must be about My Father's business?" And they understood not the saying which He spake unto them. And He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. He, you know, His mother understood there was something deeper in the reason that He did it. I know that He didn't do it to disobey. But He was subject to His parents. And that brings us to the next story when we read about Him being subject to parents. Let's turn to John chapter 2. I want you to think about how, in some of the difficulty that Christ may have had, He had mere mortals for parents, right? He had a father and mother that weren't perfect. And He was the perfect child. And yet, You know, they may have made some decisions or told him to do something that he might not necessarily have agreed with. But he was subject to them. Here we find in John chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 1 through 12. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And they wanted wine, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto to him, to Jesus, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. It's not time for me to do this yet. But his mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there was set 6 pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 and 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith to them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Why did he do it? Because he was obedient to his mother. He honored his mother and her request, and he set an example. Even though he may not have thought at that time, it's my time to do this, and even basically made the statement, he honored his mother. He did as she requested, and God was glorified. John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. He sets this example. As he knows that his life is to be taken, and he's on the cross. And he looks out there, and in verse 25, it says, Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. He took the care of her, even in death. And he also showed us something which we're going to see in other scriptures. The importance that we have in the body and in the community of Christ, in this fellowship that we have one with another, that here Christ made someone else responsible, answerable to his own mother, and someone that would care for her. And thus again, place great value knowing that she would be mourning his loss, and knowing that this disciple would be able to comfort and to care for his mother. I want to read in 1 Peter chapter 3, because I believe this scripture tells me that really honor to our mothers begins at home by the fathers. We fathers have a tremendous responsibility. It's been talked about before in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Says to the husbands, Likewise ye husbands, dwell with them, your wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. If you are married, and you are not showing your wife how precious she is, if you have children, and you're not treating your wife with that kind of respect and honor, cherishing her, trying to understand her, to be a strength to her, you're not doing the job that you need to do to let your children see what their duty is. I consider this often. If you're treating your wife the way you should, husbands, your children are going to know you better not mess with mom, because in so doing, who do you mess with? Dad. Dad thinks she has great, great value. She's very precious, and toward her, he's very tender. And if I step out of line and I do something that hurts mom, dad is going to be bothered. Not that you should have absolute fear of your dads, like they're going to beat you to death, but I would think that the things that we do as fathers show our children how their mothers are to be treated. And this is a great responsibility that we as husbands and fathers have to our wives. And we do these things that not only will our prayers not be hindered, but that our children will know what's required of them as we set the example before them. There's a lot of scriptures about God's judgment on disobedient children. I'm going to put children as... I don't think it's just talking about 0 to 10 years old. I think it's those that are still under and have an obligation to their parents. We're going to read some of those. How serious does the Lord take these things? We've seen what He said for us to do. We've seen the example of Jesus Christ. We've heard what the Scripture says to our youth about what God requires of you when it comes to your mothers and to your parents. And now I'm going to show you what God says if you don't do it. Exodus chapter 21. I'm going to read verses 15 to 17. It says, "He that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." I think God takes it pretty seriously. "And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death." I'm not too interested in that verse. "He that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." God wanted respect. And it was a very serious offense. Deuteronomy chapter 27 said, "Cursed is he that setteth light by his father or his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen." Cursed is he. Someone that setteth light, it says, is to hold someone in contempt. You hold your parents in contempt. Who are you holding ultimately in contempt? God Himself. God ordained order and the things that are placed in this world to accomplish His purposes. And by showing a disrespect or contempt for your parents, you would be showing disrespect to the law of God itself. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. I should have had this in the other section, but I'll read it since I missed it. "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace under thy head and chains about thy neck." Something that our youth are commanded to do. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. "The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." I know that probably having lived as long as I have, and certainly there are many that have much more experience than I do, but I have noticed in my 40-plus years that moms take things to heart. Dads sometimes have more of an ability to kind of cast them off, but it's often that I hear moms, you know, "I failed my kids." Or when the children aren't acting as they should, moms are wondering, "What could I have done better? Why, you know, why are they treating me this way?" This is something that happens when children are foolish, when they're not listening to the things that make them wise, which usually comes from mom and dad that have lived there and lived through these things. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 26. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. This particular young person is someone that says that he ravages his father, says that he chases his mom. That's basically it. He chases her out of the house. He puts her to flight. He brings shame and he brings reproach to their family. Proverbs 20:20, whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. You don't take and you despise, you say things with irreverence toward your parents. It says your lamp will be put out in obscure darkness, place where you cannot see. Proverbs 28:24, whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith, it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer. We have all kinds of people today that have reasons for what they do against their parents. Horrible things. And yet the Lord demands that we have respect and give honor to them. Proverbs chapter 30. Starting in verse 11. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagles shall eat it. We have what the Lord thinks about these kind of things placed before you. That's kind of the doom and gloom part of it. But God takes it very seriously, and that's one of the reasons why I want to read those. I want you to know that God takes it seriously. There's another aspect that I want to talk about. And I'm going to begin it from Deuteronomy chapter 21. And I'm going to begin in verse 18. It says this. I'm going to read verses 18 to 21 in Deuteronomy chapter 21. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto him, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Well, this really isn't what the Lord tells us to do to our kids anymore. But the point I want to get out of this is you know that moms and dads both have a responsibility to correct their children. It's not just dad's responsibility. It says that when you have a child that's not respecting the voice of his mother, that they're going to chasten him. They're going to get after him. And moms, you need to be hearing this. Some of you got some little kids that are going to have these attributes that you're going to be dealing with, especially as they grow, and you have to learn how to do these things, and you need to be willing to do them. Proverbs chapter 29 says, the rod, this is verses 15 to 18, again, to mothers and to fathers. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. It's mom's job to not let your child do what he wants to do when you know it's wrong. But a rod and reproof, they give wisdom to our children. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. When I look at this whole proverb, you know, about correction, the correction of our children, we must correct them. And when we do, it says it gives us rest. The parents will receive rest. And it will give us delight in the soul of our children, in their souls, in the things that they do. Because in correction comes vision. And that's what the next verse says. Where there's no vision, they perish. If you don't correct your children, if they don't see what wrong they have done, they're on a path to destruction. But when we teach them how to keep the law of their parents, we give happiness to our children. It's where true joy lies. In keeping and in keeping the laws of our parents, we are keeping the laws of God. Hopefully, if we are Christian parents. We give vision by giving chastisement and reproof. Proverbs chapter 31 kind of tells a story about the virtuous woman. And to me, there's a little section in here about how we do our correcting. And we're going to read then a scripture about what the purpose of correction is. Speaking about the wife and the mother, it says in verse 26 of Proverbs 31, it says, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." The Lord doesn't expect mothers to beat their children within an inch of their life so that we make sure that they fear us. There's a purpose in correction. And that correction is to give wisdom to our children. That's what mothers do. They give wisdom. And in their tongue, still, even if you may have to use the rod on your children, they're still in your mouth and in the words you say, from your tongue, the law of kindness. We do things out of love, not out of hatred and anger. We do things as Christians out of love. "She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed." When mothers take seriously the raising of their children, as hard as it is sometimes to correct them, when you do it in love, when you try to give them and impart to them wisdom, and they see all the care and the love that you have, the day will come when they will rise up to call you blessed. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us a short statement about what God's purpose in correction is. And as parents, you know, there's all kinds of different ways that we've heard about today, how to correct your children. Well, you do it this way. This family does it that way. We get all these things, and sometimes, you know, some ways seem more cruel to us or these kind of things. But I would like to call us all back to the purpose of correction and what it's supposed to do. And when we think of that, when we're correcting our children, it's going to give us some ideas of some things and the ways that we should be trying to correct our children. First, we read in Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 5, it says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." We want to do things that don't make our children... we're doing it for their good. And it may cause us, we may have to rebuke them and in our chastening. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." If you love your children, you have a responsibility to set them straight from time to time in love, showing them wisdom and teaching them the Word of God. "He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." A bastard is someone that has no father. And it's important that our kids know that they have parents. You don't want to have your children walking around thinking there is no one that's an authority over them. It's the God-given responsibility of parents to correct their children so that they know that there is an authority. They know that there is required honor. But if that, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and we gave them reverence, shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. What is the purpose of us correcting our children? We want to change something that they're doing that would cause them destruction. And the things that we do, the way that we choose to correct them, has to be something which would give them an opportunity to make a change. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes it's something that it's a process to which we take them through so that they can be changed from something that we see that would be destructive to their soul. And if mothers and fathers don't take it seriously, it's our children that lose out. I want to tell you about the big picture about honor, and it's God's big picture. Paul said in Romans chapter 16, verse 13, he says, "Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine." 1 Timothy 5 says, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers." How do you view who we honor? In our fellowship, in the fellowship of Jesus Christ and among the church, we have many mothers. We have many grandmothers. We have those that God requires of us to entreat as fathers. Younger men, those our age, they're our brothers. Our older women, our mothers, our younger women, our sisters, we honor widows. If any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home. Yes, even some of our mothers that dad's not around. Our children are required to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for this is good and acceptable unto God. When you and I, in the fellowship of Jesus Christ, when we see some destructive nature in the children that are around us, you know, when I was over, and John and I were hanging out a lot when we were kids, and I was over at their house, how many of you think Aunt Wanda never corrected me? It wasn't any different than being at home. She was just like a mother. And it was important that she was honored, just like a mother. When you hear your kids say words that, "You're not my mother," be careful. Because the Lord requires something greater of us as we see the big picture of what God wants in the fellowship. Now, we don't expect somebody else to beat the daylights out of our children. But when we see someone stepping up, when we see a father or a mother in our congregation stepping up, are you overly defensive for your kids? And if you are you doing them a favor? Because there's always going to be, in God's plan, and in the way that God created things, there's always going to be someone else that has authority. Whether it's at the job, whether it's as you grow, whether it's at school with the teacher. What is it that you're teaching your children? We need to be teaching our children that they respect adults. That when someone the same age as my wife says something to my children, it's like the voice of another mother. And those of us that may be in that position to give those kind of advice, the way that we do it, what should the purpose be? That if we see something that's destructive, it's correction. And it's in love. And they know that it's in love. They know that they can come to us later and we're going to have our arm around them. Because we want the best to be for them. This is God's big picture. There's a statement in Proverbs that says about an abundance of counselors. There's wisdom gained not only from two parents, but an abundance of counselors. And other moms and dads. And these people that God requires us to give honor to give respect to. And these are the things that our children need to see and know. There's much to be said about a mother's love. It's a copy of the love of Jesus Christ that He has for His people. Most mothers that I know, their love has no end. Hopefully fathers too, but we all obviously see it in mothers. There's a statement in Scripture, you know, often you see God is compared to being a father. But in Isaiah 66:13 it says, "As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you and shall be comforted in Jerusalem." God was going to comfort His people as a mother comforts. This thing that's similar to what God does is found inside of a mother's love. You know, when my kids get in trouble, skin the knee, dad's responsibility is, get up, dust yourself off, wipe them tears away. That's dad's kind of, you know, toughen up, because this is a tough world. But mom's comfort, oh, come here, let me dust you off. Does it hurt? Can I help you? You know, come on, let's get a Band-Aid for you, boo-boo. It works. That's what moms do, and it's similar to what God does when we need it. And now I want to speak specifically to mothers. Mothers need to be an example of good things that bring honor. Mothers can do things dishonorable that would bring a lack of honor and a lack of respect from their children. I like several scriptures. One is in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Paul, here in this writing, he's writing to Timothy, and he says to him, he says, "Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Paul saw something that extended not from a line of men in Timothy's family, but they were attributes of righteousness that came from mothers, grandmothers, carried on in their sons, in their daughters. Something which is honorable and good. We all know the story in Alma chapter 26, don't we? Alma chapter 26, the story of 2,000 young men who had never been in battle before, that had their country overrun, had been taught all their days by their mothers, had never fought before. They're now facing an army that is seasoned in war. And here they are facing these men that have fought before, and none of them had fought, but they'd been taught righteous words from their mothers. And no doubt their mothers had placed a great deal of time and effort in the teaching and in the living of these things, which allowed their sons to be strong in the hour when it was necessary. In Alma 26, chapter 56 and 57, verses 56 and 57, "Now they never had fought, yet they did not fear death." Are you teaching your children that death is common to mankind and not to fear it? "And they did think more upon the liberty of their fathers than they did upon their own lives." Are you teaching them selflessness, duty? "Yea, they had been taught by their mothers that if they did not doubt, that God would deliver them." Are you teaching your children about the deliverance and the ability of God when we are faithful and without doubt? "And they rehearsed unto me the words of their mothers, saying, We do not doubt our mothers knew. Now they never had fought, yet they did not fear death." Oh, that's what I already read. They knew that God would deliver them. Later in that story, There were 60 more of those young men added, verses 94 through 96. It says in chapter 26 of Alma, "Behold, my little band of 2,060 fought most desperately. Yea, they were firm before the Lamanites and did administer death unto all those who opposed them. And as the remainder of our army were about to give way before the Lamanites, behold, those 2,060 were firm and undaunted. Yea, they did obey and observe to perform every word of command with exactness." How do you think that was possible? Do you think that was possible by mothers that never required their children to obey? Or did that learning come from learning to obey and not giving yourself the right to question whether it's acceptable to obey? When it, as a teenager, we start thinking, well, yeah, that's what she said, but really I can't see this being harmful, what I'm doing. These young men, they survived because they had learned when their mothers, their fathers had told them to do something to obey with exactness, because they got to a point in battle they had never fought before. They didn't know what to do. They had to rely on someone that had been there that gave them the word of what to do. Yea, and even according to their faith, it was done unto them, and I did remember the words which they said unto me that their mothers had taught them, that if they did not doubt, God would deliver them. And God delivered them because they were obedient and performed every command with exactness. I consider these things, the power that mothers have. Mothers can have a bad influence. I might mention that. I found in Scripture a couple of Scriptures, and I'm not really going to read them, but I'm going to mention them. At the end of when the Nephites were destroyed, Mormon said, "Ye fair sons and daughters, ye fathers and mothers, how is it that you could have fallen? You weren't doing your jobs. You allowed things to go beyond recall where they couldn't be brought back. They allowed their sons and their daughters to stray." We find in the reading in Scripture in Matthew chapter 14, the reading of the mother of the woman named Herodias, Herod's wife, who asked her daughter to bring the head of John the Baptist in a charger for her, instructed her to do that. We have to be careful of our instructions. As mothers and fathers, we need to make sure that the things, the influence that we have on our children is one that is right. And obviously, we need to be praying for our children. There's a scripture in the Book of Mormon that says to pray in our families. Are we taking that seriously? Our children have some challenges of the future. I thought about this. What do you expect that our children are going to face in their future? Have you considered it? How many of you think some of our children may be involved in defending our country in war? Is it possible? Are you preparing your kids? Mothers? How many of you think that it's a dangerous world if they become a missionary and get sent to a foreign country? Are you preparing your kids? Are you preparing your kids to have strength and confidence and trust in Almighty God? To not stay home, but to do their duty without doubting, knowing that God can deliver them, or being willing to be subject to God, whatever His will would be. We have some challenges that lie before our children, and I hope that you mothers, you fathers, I hope you take it seriously. Moms, you're probably, again, going to be the ones that have the greatest opportunity, as we saw in that reading. I'm not home a lot because I'm working. I know many other men that are in the same boat as I am. We rely heavily upon our wives, the mothers. And our mothers have a great responsibility. And I don't want you to think less of it. You have a great responsibility. I want to read a scripture really in closing. of some things that we need to be teaching our children. And it comes from 1 Peter chapter 3. It's kind of an overview of some of the things we need to teach, some of the thoughts that we need to have, and that we need to be encouraging our children. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, I'm going to begin. It says, "Finally be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil." Are you teaching your kids by the things that you do that when evil is rendered to you, that we don't respond back in kind? Or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. When you guys are having troubles at home, some of you here may be in broken relationships, separated families. If you are, do you speak evil of your companion that's gone? Against the word of the Lord, which tells your kids to honor their parents, are you still requiring your children to honor? Doesn't mean they have to agree with everything somebody else does, but are you requiring your parents, your children to honor their parents? To give them respect, because it's given from God, and not rendering evil for evil. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Are you telling your kids that if they're walking in a righteous manner, that it doesn't matter what somebody does? And we cannot fear. But if ye suffer for righteous sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. We need to be teaching our children that to do things right, even if it caused suffering, we should not be afraid. Because there's blessing in that. We do not need to fear, because God is still in control. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. What are we teaching our kids? What are we teaching them by example? Dads, are you taking responsibility to show honor? Moms, are you doing things honorable? Are you setting a standard which your kids can follow that will take them to righteous efforts in the future of their lives? Are you taking seriously the fact that our kids have challenges that some of us yet probably have not faced, and they're before us? Are you taking it seriously to prepare them to meet those days? Because they are coming. And young people, are you honoring your parents? Are you obeying them? Even if you think maybe there's something better, you do it because that's what God wants. And in so doing, you show an example that you are willing to obey God and receive His blessing. This is the message that I bring this day. I hope and I pray that somewhere in there was something for you. Something that we need to be doing in our duty to make sure that in our day and among our people that we have the honor and the respect for one another that God requires. And in so doing, that we respect the system and the order which God placed, giving respect to God Himself, giving honor to Him as we do to those who He gave us to be an authority over us. May God help us in this effort, is my prayer.